I ask you to turn your Bible to the New Testament, the Gospel of John. Today we will see John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. This is the famous passage, which is a sign, which is a miracle, in which we see the glory of our Lord Christ Jesus. I will read the passage and pray, asking God help us to bless us, our preaching and hearing His word. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. This is God's holy and inerrant and infallible word. I ask you pay your attention to the word of God. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jar with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take to the master of feast." So they took it. When the master of feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Let's pray, ask God help us. Father, we give you thanks for the day. We give you thanks for the salvation, the spirit, the truth you reveal and given to us. We praise you for everything. Now we come to your word. We ask you bless us to understand your word. And we pray your Holy Spirit apply the truth in our heart, fix our eyes on our Lord Christ Jesus, and help us to see the glory of our Lord. He is beauty, he is glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Christians are a group of people who trust our Lord Christ Jesus. We are called Christians not because we have higher moral behaviors, not because you come to church every Lord's Day, not because you are a seminary student, you are an elder, you are a pastor, not these reasons, but only reason we trust, we believe our Lord Christ Jesus. Hear what our catechism teaches us. Short Catechism 85, he said, "What does God require of us that we may escape his wrath and the curse because of our sin?" The answer is to escape the wrath and the curse of our Lord God because of our sin. God requires us faith in Christ Jesus, repentance into life with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption. 3 things we should know. The first is faith in Christ Jesus. The second is repentance into life. The third is to use the means of grace Jesus gives to us. So the following catechism answered this question and explained to us what is faith in Jesus, what is repentance into life, what is to use the means of grace. Question 18:6, what is the faith in Christ Jesus? Faith in Christ Jesus is a saving grace whereby we receive and trust upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. So, in order to escape God's wrath and curse, we have to put our trust in him, because he is our Lord, because he is the only Redeemer who delivered us from God's wrath and curse. This is the reason we are called Christians. We trust our Lord. In today's passage, John tells us the disciples believed in him after Christ performed a miracle. After Jesus performed a sign. The details are the miracle manifested Jesus, his glory, and the disciples believed in him. Modern church appreciates miracles in a wrong way, because they think the miracles can bring them physical and material blessing. However, it is dangerous to focus on the miracle only, but ignore the one who performed the miracle. Therefore, John used the word sign to remind us to think about the deeper reality, the deeper reason after the miracles. He used the sign. So we should consider what the sign points to us. What is the deeper reality or the deeper reason for this sign? So John said in verse 11, he said, this sign manifested Jesus Christ, his glory. Therefore, his disciples, believe in him. So, brothers and sisters, when you focus on the miracle, or when you focus on other blessings from God, but ignore the one who gives you the blessing, you ignore our Lord Christ Jesus, which means you are distracted by other things. Our short catechism and the scripture teaches us we should focus our Lord, trust him only, because he is not his blessing, it's not other things help us to rescue the curse of our God. Therefore, from today's passage, I want you to know, not being distracted by other things, but putting your faith on his glory. I will give you three reasons from this passage. The first is because he has come. The second is he has spoken. The third is he has finished. Brothers and sisters, not being distracted by other things, but putting your trust on his glory, because he has come, he has spoken, and he has finished. The first reason is he has come. The John's Gospel tells us now in the beginning of chapter 1, now is the third day. Several things we should know about this story. The first is this story is exclusive in John's Gospel. If you are familiar with John's Gospel, many things are exclusive in his Gospel. This story is exclusive also in this gospel. Chronologically, we see this is Jesus' first public ministry. Very, very earlier, very, very beginning in his ministry. Also, this event happened in Canaan, which is an inconsequential region of Galilee. This is the place where the event happened. Verse 1 and verse 2 tells us Jesus and his mom and his disciples were there. We don't know why Jesus was invited to this wedding, Because when we read the synoptical gospel, the gospels, Jesus is not very welcomed by the people. But now he was welcomed, he was invited to this wedding. Maybe because his mom, maybe because his disciples. We don't know the exactly reason. No matter, anyway, Jesus came to this wedding. We are familiar with this story and fully understand the significance of his coming for this wedding. You know this story, right? Now, let me tell you, Jesus came to this wedding. In fact, if you go back to the chapter 1, we see the continuity between chapter 1 and chapter 2. First of all, we see the chronological continuity. In chapter 1, verse 29, 35, 43, we see three times the phrase, the next day, the next day, the next day. And chapter 2, verse 1, we see the third day. So we see the chronological continuity between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Commentators, they have a lot of discussion about the meaning of this word, the third day. They think the third day is significant for Christian thinking because the third day in Christian thinking has great theological significance. So they consider here the third day symbolically reference to Jesus, his resurrection. Others, conversely, they just consider the third day just to follow the context. Jesus meet Nathanael 2 days later. This is two different opinions. It's hard to decide which one is right. At least, I think, through three times the phrase, the next day, the next day, the next day, and the verse 1, the third day, we see the chronological continuity between chapter 1 and chapter 2. This is what we can see. Also, we see another continuity, which is thematic continuity. The theme of the coming of the king, the theme of the coming of Messiah in an Old Testament perspective. In the beginning of chapter 1 claims an important thing, which is the divinity of the word. If you go back to chapter 1, you will see chapter 1, verse 1. The word was with God, and the word was God. In verse 5, John utilized a metaphor to compare the word with the light. He said, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In verse 5, we see the power, the authority of this word. Because, if you remember, the word was with God. The word was God. What's the meaning of light shines in darkness? We found the answer in verse 9 and verse 14. Verse 9, chapter 1, John said, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into this world. We know this is Jesus, his incarnation, the incarnated word. He is the word, the incarnated God. He is the word. He was coming to this world. Verse 14, he said, and the word become flesh and it dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, of truth. What's the meaning of the light shines into darkness? God, who became flesh and came to this dark world, the word is the only Son of the Father, with full of the grace and the truth. The chapter 1 tells us the begotten Son of God has come to this dark world. He, as the light, shines into the dark world. Two things we should know, very important. The first is the incarnation of God. The second is this world is dark. This is a dark world. Now we come to chapter 2. We see in this story how this incarnate God specifically entered people's life. When I mentioned Jesus came to this wedding, now we see how the incarnated God came to people's life specifically. Now we see chapter 2 in this story, we are told the Son of God, as the God-man attends this wedding. Culturally, such a celebration had been known to last as much as a week or 2 weeks. Each day, they have new guests coming to this wedding. But now, the situation is the wine ran out. To fill in the supplies was a major investment for the married parts and their family. Therefore, we can say when Jesus came to this situation, which is not a perfect, it's not a lovely situation, it's not the normal situation like we went to a wedding ceremony. There is an embarrassment in this ceremony. Brothers and sisters, you should know the reason of the coming of Messiah. If you read the Bible, if you know what the Bible teaches you, the offspring of this woman, he will come. Now he is coming to this world. The reason of the woman of the offspring come is not for a peace situation. The coming of woman's offspring is to reverse the chaotic, rebellious situation. The word of God, the word was God. When the word came to this world, he came to the dark world. This is what the scripture teaches us. When Jesus came to this wedding, he came to an embarrassment. What about you? Let me ask you this question. When Jesus came to your life, what do you think about your life? Your life is perfect. If you think your life is perfect, you will not accept him. Every person who truly accepts our Lord Christ Jesus, who acknowledge that he is incapable of doing anything about his sinful life. Let me remind you again, every person who truly accepts our Lord Christ Jesus, he is a person who acknowledges he is incapable of doing anything for his sinful situation. First of all, you acknowledge your situation is sinful. You were under the wrath and the curse of God. Second thing is, you realize only Christ Jesus, he can rescue us from the sinful situation. Let no one deceive you. In today's culture, we don't want to acknowledge our weakness. We want to be another American captain, strong, independent. Even we can save others. This is what the culture teaches us. Let no one deceive you, my brothers and sisters. We need to acknowledge we are incapable of changing ourselves. This is the reason he is coming. He is coming to save you. He is coming to rescue you from this darkness, from unrealistic dream that be taught by this word. Because he is come. So, brothers and sisters, put your trust on him, not on yourself, because he can rescue. Don't be deceived by this word. Don't be deceived by this dark word. This is the first point I want to tell you why you should put your faith in Christ Jesus. Put your trust in him, because he has come, because only him can rescue you from the embarrassing situation, the sinful situation, the death and the curse of our God. The second reason I want to I want you to know is he has spoken. Put your faith on him because he has spoken. As I mentioned, there was an embarrassing situation that happened in this wedding. Verse 2 tells us when the wine ran out. This is the tension. This is the tension in this story, catching our eyes. Now the wine ran out. Jesus said and asked him, or Jesus' mom said and asked him, they have no wine. I don't know about you. For me, this is a little strange, weird. Because why did she ask Jesus? Jesus is not the bridegroom, and he was not supposed to charge this kind of thing. He was just a guest. I think what is more confused us is Jesus' reply. He replied his mom. He said, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" I think no son would reply his mom, reply to his mom in this way. Kids, don't learn that. No son will reply to his mom in this way. Commentators also have many discussion about Jesus' reply. These words sound harsh to our ears, but they did not have a harsh sound in original language. Woman, in that age, woman was a title of respect, just like ours, lady. What does this have to do with me? Literal means what to me and to you. It can mean a hostile rebuke or simply a desire to be left alone. Here, I think Jesus was not expressing hostility to his mom, but he wanted to set distance of his public relationship with his mom. In the scripture, you should know Jesus, his thought is family relationship will not be the determining factors in his life. We should ask a question. Why does Jesus set this distance between himself and his family? It's not like Christian, it's not like what the Bible teaches us, because the fifth commandment teaches us we should honor our father and mother. If you go back to the context, chapter 1, even the whole John's gospel, if you go to the context again, you will see. First of all, let me remind you. Do you remember whose son he is? Whose son Jesus is? In chapter 1, verse 14, the Word become flesh and dwell among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from Father, full of the grace and the truth. The whole scripture teaches us Jesus, he is the Son of the Father. He has the primary relationship with Father. Chapter 1, 30, Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus was sent by Father. Again, he claims the primary relationship Father and him. In the last, if you want to read the book, the Gospel of John, very important, in the last, he said, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So the Gospel of John, even the whole scripture teaches us the primary relationship Jesus and the Father. The primary thing you should know about Christ is he is the Son of God, and his relationship, a primary relationship with his Father. Let me remind you another example in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. If you remember when they went to the Jerusalem, the parents were seeking him. His mother said,
Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And Jesus said to them, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? So again and again, the scripture teaches us the primary relationship, Jesus and his Father. Jesus was direct, not by his mom, nor his brothers, but his relationship with Father. The New Testament scholar D.A. Carson said, the reason Jesus gives for the distance he maintains between his mother and himself must be viewed in the light of the cross. What's the meaning of viewed in the light of the cross? This is the second part of Jesus, his reply. His second part reply is, my time has not yet come. This is very important for John's gospel because this sentence appeared 7 times in John's gospel. Chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 12, twice, chapter 13, chapter 17. Jesus said, my time has not yet come. This word, my time, is important. The literal means, hora, this word means hour. So Jesus said, you will see different translation, my time or my hour. For example, if you read the book of John, you will see the chapter 1 through chapter 12, they are called the book of sign because John recorded seven signs in first 12 books. In this sign, we see Jesus manifested his glory. So we consider the first 12 chapter the book of glory. Very interesting. Chapter 13 through chapter 17, they are called the great book because Jesus introduced us the Holy Spirit and the relationship he and the Father, especially the chapter 13 through chapter 17, they just happened one night. So chapter 13 through 17, they recorded what happened in the last night. So one night, 5 chapters. Very interesting, when I mentioned this sentence, my time has not yet come, appeared 7 times. The last time appeared in John's gospel is 17 verse 1. Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. The same word. Glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you. Now, Jesus always said, my time has not yet come. Now he said, the hour, the time has come. What is the hour? What is the time? The context tells us the hour is about the cross. So the time of humiliation is the time of glory, is the time of cross. Jesus went to the cross. This is the time of glory. This is the time of glory. This is the time of cross. Instead of considering the priority of relationship between Father and Son in an earthly way, Father, Son, we consider that in earthly way, we should acknowledge the cross in Jesus' heart in a spiritual way because the time is important, because the cross is important, because the salvation in his heart is important. The primary relationship between Jesus and his Father is he obeyed his Father to go to the cross. In Luke's gospel, he said, when the days draw near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is what Jesus said, Mom, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. When Jesus' mom asked him, they have no wine. In Jesus' heart, his concerning is the salvation. His concerning is not the relationship with his mom, but his relationship with Father. We know what the day is. We know what the time is. We know what the hour is. Jesus will meet. We know what he will meet in Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He obeys his father. He was determined to go to Jerusalem because he considered the primary relationship his father and himself. Brothers and sisters, this is our Lord Christ Jesus. If you acknowledge that salvation is God saved us from darkness and continue transforming you and me into the likeness of his Son, Romans chapter 8 said, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of our Lord Son, of his Son, Christ Jesus." We should imitate our Lord Christ Jesus to put primary heavenly relationship with our Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, you should know, if you don't know how to deal with the relationship with our Heavenly Father, you will not know how to deal with the earthly relationship. If you don't know how to love our God, you don't know how to love your husband, your wife. If you are single, the way you prepare yourself to be a good husband or wife is to learn to obey our Heavenly Father, because this is what our Jesus said and what he does. He considered the primary relationship with his Father. Now we see Jesus has spoken. What he spoken is about the time. What he spoken is about the salvation. Now the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and the Son may glorify you. This is the time of glory. So Jesus has spoken. What he spoken govern his heart, govern his whole ministry, and govern his whole life. This is what he said, what he spoken. This is the second reason I want you to know, because he has spoken. He has come, not only he has come, he's spoken to us. The third reason I want to give you is because he has finished. After Jesus replied his mom said to his servant, he said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Now we see from verse 6 through verse 8, this is how the servants did what Jesus told them. Verse 9, verse 10, we are told the result of the servant doing what Jesus said. The result is Jesus turned water into wine. From verse 10, we know the wine is better wine than before. How do we understand this sign? Because we don't need this kind of sign, right? In your wedding, I think you prepare enough wine. You prepare enough thing for your wedding, right? So we don't need this kind of sign. So we should ask question, how do we understand this sign? Our understanding should be governed by two things. The first is Jesus, his reply. We have seen what he replied to his mom. The second thing is the interpretation from author himself. Jesus' reply, we have seen, he said about the hour, the salvation, the time. And the author's interpretation in verse 11, he said, "This, the first of his signs Jesus did in Canaan, in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him." How do we interpret this sign depends on how do we understand the relationship between the Son and the salvation. How does this sign explore Jesus, his person, and his work? Because the salvation is not about your sanctification. It's not about your justification. It's not about your Christian life. The salvation only about Christ Jesus, his person, and his work. So the key point of understanding this sign is, how do we understand how does this sign explore his person and his work? What's the meaning of turning water into wine? We know this wine is important for the wedding ceremony. But if we go back to the scripture, in the Old Testament, the theme of the wine often occurs in prophecy as a feature for the glory of the coming of God's kingdom. So in the Old Testament, especially in the prophets books, we see in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6, he said, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, all rich food full of marrow, all aged wine will refound." If we go back to chapter 1, verse 17 again, John said, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and the truth came through Christ Jesus." In the scripture, in the Gospels, we know when the kingdom is coming, when Jesus is coming, his coming is with the kingdom of the coming of kingdom. So we know Jesus bring us the kingdom. Now we know from John's Gospel, the old age has gone. Now with Jesus, he's coming. He bring us the grace and the truth. He bring us the grace and the truth. With Jesus, he's coming. The old age has gone. With the coming of the kingdom, grace and the truth came through Christ Jesus alone. This is why in verse 11, the mask of feast, he said, "You have kept the good wine until now." So the wine represents the kingdom, the new age. So you keep the good wine until now. Until now, the good wine come. Until now, the kingdom of God come. Water into wine indicate that the long-awaited kingdom of God had arrived. God himself had drawn near in the person of Christ Jesus in his ministry. This is why in chapter 1, verse 18, John said, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Because this sign manifested the Son's glory. The Son's glory is God's glory. Here, the last, John gives us an important application. He said, when the glory manifested through this sign, his disciples believed. Let me stop there. Let me give you another example. You will know the importance of this word. If you go to chapter 2, verse 23 through 25, this is a summary of Jesus, his sign, and the reflection from peoples. Chapter 2, 23 through 25. "Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name, and they saw the sign that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and needed no one to bear witness about men, for he himself know what was in man." Here we have a negative example. When Jesus performed many signs among the people, and they trust him, but John tells us Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew everyone's heart. This example tells us in chapter 2, John said that disciples believed him. It's not believe just the miracle artificially. They believe Christ Jesus. They believe Christ Jesus because they see the glory of Christ Jesus. What's the glory of Christ Jesus? Because they knew the coming of kingdom. Because they knew this miracle manifested his glory. His glory is about the cross. His glory is about the salvation. His glory is about his humiliation. Because he is humiliated, so we can be exalted. We can be saved by his salvation. The sign revealed his glory because only through him the kingdom has come in which we receive truth and grace. I think the difference is the true believer see the glory. The glory is about the cross. The glory is about the salvation. Let's go back to the beginning. If you remember the short catechism. Short catechism 18:6. What is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. Francis's modern church preached many blessings of Christ Jesus. We are so grateful. We receive many blessings from him. But do not be distracted by other things. Even his blessing, we should fix our eyes on him, the one who gives us blessing, the one who gives us grace and truth. We should fix our eyes on him. We should ask God to open our eyes to see his glory. His glory is not his blessing. His glory only belongs to himself, because the glory of the Son of God is the glory of the true God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks. We acknowledge, we often appreciate the blessing from our Lord Christ Jesus. Sometimes even we are distracted by these things. Help us to put our eyes on our Lord Christ Jesus and believe he is the Christ, he is the coming Messiah, he is the King of this kingdom. We ask you help us to remember, and we ask you bless our church to preach the gospel of Christ, of our Lord Christ Jesus. It's not the gospel of other blessings. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.